Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 3. Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Today we're reading texts 34 and 35, which ends the chapter. Text 34, I'll read myself and we'll chant together text 35, which is on the board. So text 34. Itam svabhatri gaditam bhagavan mahitvam samsmritya vismito deyo yamakinkaraste nav achyutashraya janam prati sankramana drastum chabibhyate tata prabhuti smarajan. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So translation, after hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and His name, fame, and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. Purport. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. So text 35. Itihasam imam guyam bhagavan kumbha sambhavaha katayam asa malaya asino harim archayam itihasam imam guyam bhagavan kumbha sambhavaha katayam asa malaya asino harim asino harimarchayan itihasam imam guyam bhagavan kumbha sambhavaha katayam asa malaya asino harimarchayan itihasam imam guyam Bhagavan Kumbha Sambhavaha Katayamasa Malaya Asino Harimarchayam. Asami Manguya Bhagavan Kumbha Sambhava Yamasa Malaya Vaishnavis, itihasam imam guyam bhagavan kumbha sambhava katayamasa malaya sino harimakshayam itihasam imam guyam Bhagavan Kamdasambhava. Itiyasam imam guyam Bhagavan kundasambhavam Masamalaya Asiva harimakshaya Itihasam history imam this guyam very confidential. Bhagavan, the most powerful. Kumbhasambhava, Agastya Muni, the son of Kumbha. Katayamasa, explained. Malaye, in the Malaya hills. Asinaha, residing. Harimarchayan, worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When the great sage Agastya, the son of Kumbha, was residing in the Malaya hills and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him and he explained to me this confidential history. Please repeat. When the great sage Agastya, the son of Kumbha, was residing in the Malaya hills and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him and he explained to me this confidential history. So the previous verse is the one with the purport, which I'll read the verse in purport again. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and his name, fame, and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. Purport. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Yamaraj and the Yamadutas are like the police force in the universe. They have the power to arrest people, take them into custody, put them before the court of Yamaraj, and where they're judged, and then they enforce the appropriate punishments and terms of imprisonment in various forms of material bodies. So there's a law enforcement system in the universe, and sometimes in any law enforcement system there's questions about how the laws should be properly enforced. You know, maybe there have to be some court decisions or appeals to make sure that the right laws are being enforced in the right way on the right people. So in this whole episode of the case of Ajamil, it's something like that. There was an arrest about to be made, and then some other law enforcement personnel came in. You know, just like in any government, there may be different kinds of law enforcement. There may be the city police, the state police, the FBI, and sometimes those with higher jurisdiction, they're able to interfere with the activities of those on lower jurisdiction. So we could say, like, you know, the Yamadutas, they were maybe like the state police, but then the Vishnadutas, the FBI, came in and said, no, you can't arrest this person. Because, you know, they had some understanding of the laws of the higher jurisdiction. So the Yamadutas, when they were confronted with this, they went back to their, you know, they appealed to their leader, Yamaraj, who was their supreme authority, and, you know, he explained the situation that, yes, this Ajamil, he was very sinful, but because, you know, he was chanting the holy name of the Lord, the supreme authority, in an offenseless way, he was exempt from arrest. And there might have been some confusion in the case, because in many cases, sometimes people, sinful people at the time of death, seeing that their end is coming, will artificially chant the holy name, you know, just to be, try to become freed from their sinful reactions, which is considered to be, I mean, it's still, it's auspicious, but it's not the highest kind of chanting, and it doesn't necessarily exempt one from being taken by the Yamadutas. But if one actually is a devotee, sincerely chanting the holy name without major offenses, then one is, according to this, exempt, you know, from being arrested by the Yamadutas. So if one actually is a devotee, then, as stated here in this purport, you know, since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. So they they don't try to arrest the sincere devotees of the Lord. So the main, one of the main points here is that there is a system of law and order in the universe, and many people today don't believe that there's any higher order, law and order, that is imposed on the universe from some god. You know, they really don't accept that idea. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna explains this: asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahur anishvaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitakam. So Krishna explains there's a certain category of person, a certain category of philosopher who thinks jagat ahur anishvaram, there is no controller to the universe, which means if there's no controller, that means we are the controllers. We can do whatever we like. We can set our own values. We can set our own goals. And we may have some society where we make up our own laws, and those are the only laws that we have to consider. And maybe you can even evade those laws. So that is pretty much the situation for much of the modern world. You know, they don't recognize the laws of God as having any reality. You know, they might say, okay, you can believe, if you want to privately believe in your Bhagavad Gita, your Bible, your Quran, then you go ahead and do that. But as far as the state goes, we don't recognize those things. We recognize only the laws that we make. And that's pretty much modern life. I do what I want within the bounds of my standards of decency, whatever those might be, and whatever laws the government in charge of the place has put in place. So, but there's actually a higher set of laws that govern the universe, and they are enforced. And just like the laws of the city, the laws of the state, the laws of the nation, even some international laws, you know, they're enforced, or they attempt to enforce them to some extent, and they have police, armies, governments, prison systems. They have a whole system for trying to enforce their set of laws and the relevant rewards and punishments, you know, based on those laws. But those laws aren't incomplete. For example, they may think, okay, we're going to set up slaughterhouses. The state is going to sanction slaughterhouses. We're going to have federal inspections of meat. And, you know, as long as the slaughterhouses are running according to our rules, then it's okay to kill millions and millions and millions of animals each day, including cows. They don't recognize there's some higher law in the universe that is going to impose, you know, which says, really, you don't have the right to indiscriminately kill millions of animals each day. And there's going to be some penalty for that, you know, that's imposed on everyone who's involved in that process. For those who are killing the animals, for those who are selling the meat, for those who are consuming the meat, for everybody who's involved in the process, it's like a whole big conspiracy, is going to be held accountable. Even though in terms of the state laws, they're not. You know, in terms of the governmental laws, they're not held accountable for that. They will be held accountable by the higher laws that are imposed by God. Dharman tushakshat bhagavat pranitam said, really, really effective laws can ultimately be imposed only by God. Those are the real laws that have to be obeyed. And there's a system for enforcing them. Krishna says, Ishvara Parma, well, the Isupanishad says, Ishvara Parma Krishna. There is a supreme controller. Krishna says, Mayadhyakshena Prakriti, Suyate Sacharacharam. Krishna says, the material nature is running under my control. So there is some control system in the universe. And you can't evade it. Daiviyesha gudamayi mama maya duratiya. Krishna says, this material energy with its laws, it's his energy, and you can't overcome it. You cannot evade it. So this is something modern science has failed to recognize. And Therefore, your modern governments are set up in a very unhealthy way. They fail to recognize these higher laws of nature. And they just think, well, we'll just make our own laws. Of course, even to some extent, they're still based, whatever laws they have are to some extent based on the higher laws of God. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. But the Bhagavad Gita, the Vedic literature, give the complete set of laws, a more complete set of laws than any government is now recognizing. So if the governments recognize the real laws of the universe, they would organize their societies in a way different than now. They would be encouraging those who are following the actual laws, and they would be trying to discourage those who aren't following them. And that is the actual purpose of government. And when worldly governments fail to do that and religious principles decline, then Krishna sometimes has to come himself in order to put things right. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam yadharmasya tadatmanam shajamyaham. Lord Krishna explains, when the true principles of religion decline, then I descend into this world and I restore these religious principles. And we're fast approaching the anniversary of the appearance of one of those descents of God into the material world. And the next Purnima, the next full moon, we're celebrating Gaur Purnima, the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. And in some ages, when Krishna descends this world, he descends in the form of a kshatriya, a ruler who uses force to impose the true laws of the universe in human society. So sometimes he descends like that, but in the age of Kali, he descends in the form of a brahmana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who spreads religious principles through the Sankirtan movement, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord. So that's very attractive. But even in Lord Chaitanya's time, sometimes he was tempted to use force. For example, in this painting directly above, we see the pastime of Jagai and Madhai, who were very sinful personalities. They were representative of the age of Kali. In Vedic civilization, they would have been considered an extreme anomaly, but in today's Kali Yuga civilization, they're practically everybody's like them to some extent. So they were committing so many sinful activities in violation of the true laws of the universe. They were eating meat, they were taking intoxication, they were engaging in illicit sex and gambling and cheating and lying and all of these activities which are very common today. And when members of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan party, led by Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, approached them and tried to engage them in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, they reacted in a very negative way. And they attacked Lord Nityananda. They threw some pots at him and hit him on the head. So in order to respond You know, Lord Chaitanya rushed to the spot with his weapon, his Sudarshan Chakra, and he was about to use it. But Lord Nityananda, who was extremely merciful to the fallen conditioned soul, said, no, don't do that. This is the age of Kali. You know, previously, when you've come in previous incarnations, yes, we've used, you know, force like that to impose law and order in human society. But in this day and age, you know, if you kill these people, you practically speaking have to kill everyone because everybody's like that. So in this age, the system is when the Lord comes, you know, he doesn't try to kill the demons as he did in previous age, because practically speaking, everybody is to some extent a demon in this age. Rather, the system is to enter into the heart with the power of the holy name and try to destroy the demoniac mentality that's there. So, the main point is that there are universal laws imposed by the Supreme Lord, and they are enforced. So we should take that into account individually and collectively. So I'll stop here. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes?
Can you say something about your India trip?
Well, I did recently make a trip to India, and I've also been requested to make a visual presentation of it. So maybe I'll just hold off on that until I'm able to prepare, you know, some nice visual presentation. I did go to India. I was on a lecture tour related to my latest book, which is called The Forbidden Archaeologist. So I gave lectures at about 30 universities and educational institutes all over India, and had some nice experiences during that, and also visiting some sacred sites and visiting different temples. So I'll share that when I've had a chance to put together a, you know, a presentation about it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.